Good morning. This is the Chorus Call operator. We're going to listen to the presentation of the Unieuro 2021 financial statements. All listeners are in the listening mode only. After the presentation, you can ask questions. If you want to receive assistance from an operator during the conference, dial star followed by zero. The floor goes now to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti Monterastelli, CEO, Unieuro. Many thanks and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here with me, we also have Marco Pacini, our CFO, together with Bruna Olivieri, our General Manager. Let me go through the comments for 6 months after a very special year. It goes without saying that we are still going through a situation which is unique and different versus the previous year with, you know, plenty of difficulties which are typical of this season. Now, as for the six-month results, we have a double-digit growth. As for the scenario is still positive, even if the market, you know, boomed strongly last year. The market kept working in a positive territory, and this strengthens our trust and confidence also in the second part of the year. Page four of our presentation, I will walk you through quickly the key results. Now, it is once again not easy to make a comparison between, you know, H1 last year and H1 this year for the reasons I said before. I mean, some scenarios have totally changed. Maybe you remember last year, for different weeks in a row, stores and shops were closed. At the same time, we had a dramatic growth of the online channel. I have to say that fortunately, this has helped our company, and especially we've been able to, you know, keep delivering services to all of our customer base. All of this has also generated strong savings on costs, just like a one-off. This is not repeatable this year. Maybe you remember that last year we said that if you consider, I mean, the rentals costs on the points of sale and also savings on, you know, wages, that this is due to the, you know, unemployment benefits that of course we could take advantage of for some weeks. Once again, all of this meant saving costs, something like 23 million euros cost reduction. Once again, it is not easy to compare the two different streams of data. I have to say anyway that the results we can see and read here in the slide, well, in our opinion, they are extremely positive. I also should say they are extraordinary because, I mean, we didn't expect a market that kept growing. Again, what we didn't expect as well was such a high profitability. You can see the turnover went up by more than 70%, reaching almost 1.3 billion euros in the first half. I also have to say that there's quite a good growth of the retail channels together with the, you know, affiliate channel. Well, we can also see a sort of stabilization or normalization and planning effects, in terms of managing online channel. If you consider the -1 year, but also the -2 years, you know, profitability is, well, never seen before in terms of net income, but also in terms of EBIT. You can see that, you know, cash flows are also very positive, more than 90 million euros, even if in the month of June, we paid more than 54 million euros dividends. I have to say that, well, if you also consider, for example, you know, the current, you know, 6 months or the current half of the year, well, in the first 2 months or maybe two and a half months or so, September, October, and the first part of November, well, the scenario in front of us is still positive. We believe a lot on the opportunity and possibility to reconfirm the guidance that we shared in June during the presentation of the business plan. Once again, this is, well, great news for us, and it makes us, let's say, very happy also on the evolution of this period. After the board meeting yesterday, we will launch a buyback, and the buyback consists in purchasing around 600,000 shares. page 6, this is the current market scenario as of today. So as I said before, this is a market that, if you will, still lends in a positive territory, plus 16%. So once again, as I said before, this went well over our expectations. Now, as usual, if you consider the total markets, Euro has taken extra market shares because, as you can see here, we grew by more than 17%, exactly 17.8%, so plus 1.5% growth, better than the market. And again, as I said before, if you consider, I mean, the online channel, we have the right plans so that we can, you know, restart very strongly from the second part of this semester. So from this semester, you will see results going up, which is also what already happened in the past years. If you look at the categories we've taken into account, well, you can see that there is no specific, if you will, category which is, you know, particularly negative. So there's nothing negative on the market, if you will. I hope you can still hear us, because yes, we keep hearing. It's just the phone ringing. Yeah, so once again, there was an interference, maybe a phone ringing. Okay, once again, so back to the market. Once again, the market grew on every single category. And I have to say that Euro has just, you know, followed this, well, evolution. So once again, there was growth of every single category we sell, with a special focus on the so-called large household appliance, which is, of course, the core business of our company. We are market leaders and we keep growing, and we have once again done better. So we have overperformed the market. In slide 7, you can see here the financial KPIs. Well, you can see here the most important ones. And I think that, well, they are, you know, self-explanatory, so easy to understand. Once again, they show the strength of our organization together with the possibility that we had. First, we managed a pandemic, and then we managed a post-pandemic year. So once again, even the post-pandemic year was not easy to foresee, forecast, and manage. For the first time ever, if you also make a comparison with the minus 2 years, you can see that the net income is absolutely positive. It went up versus last year by more than 54%. You can see, I mean, all the other figures and metrics yourself. All of these figures are positive, and again, they are in compliance, if you will, with the background of the history of our organization. Slide number 8. This is the result in terms of sales. This is what I said before. So there's a big leap forward versus the year minus 1, so plus 17%. If you make a comparison with the 2 years before, so minus 2, we have plus 20%. Well, I think that, once again, this is self-explanatory. The result is definitely extraordinary. Just think that, you know, this is not depending on acquisitions. I mean, there was a small organic growth from some points of sale. And it also especially depends on more than 14% of like-for-like growth. And I think that this is the best result ever for a retail company. Once again, 14% like-for-like. Now, for the time being, and if you want, I can go back to this in a minute, but for the time being, we had no significant impacts. I have to say that no problems in terms of supply chain. All over the world, in every single category, people talk about production crisis. It's difficult to have microchips. It's difficult to have raw materials, but not for us. I mean, for the time being, the situation concerning our categories and our organization, once again, no impact and no significant impact from supply chain, you know, shortages. Well, of course, we live in the same world, so I know that our suppliers, maybe they have maybe a smaller visibility in terms of the quantity of goods. Of some categories, we have, you know, plannings based on 3 months. So every single year, you know, the quarterly plans were shared with the industry, and the industry managed to comply with the 3-month strategy. Maybe the limit then is that visibility is only 4-5 weeks, so we don't have the 3-month planning. As for the coming season, so in November, so we are almost at mid-November, once again, no impact on the availability of goods. And then as for the planning that we foresee for December, once again, almost everything is confirmed. So once again, we are highly confident. We know that we have plenty of possibilities, I mean, for the peak season. And of course, we will be able to take care of the peak season in a positive way. Once again, we have less visibility on Q1, so January and February 2022. Of course, we are dealing with the industry these days just because we want to understand what may happen. So people say that there may be some bottlenecks or some difficulties, especially on some key categories. For example, well, IT systems and telephones, well, once again, we are, let's say, ready to ring the bell. But once again, for the time being, no significant impact on our results. If you go to the next page, so slide number 9, well, here you can see that the all the channels, with the exception of the online channels, well, all of the channels, with this exception, are very positive versus year minus one, but also versus 2 years ago. Every single product category is in a positive territory. I also would like to highlight the growth, once again, well beyond our expectations of services. I mean, services went up by more than 29%. And I have to say that what we do in terms of the affiliates and the, you know, sales network, well, we're doing, you know, an incredible effort. So they are growing much more than the larger household appliance channel, which, as I said before, in this case, I mean, there's a higher rate in terms of selling services and guarantee extensions. As we say repeatedly in the past, services are for us the category with the highest profitability level. So I have to say once again that this scenario is definitely positive. Now, of course, there's a booming growth for the TV sets, which is what we expected. Maybe you know that here in Italy we have started, I mean, the switch off campaign. And this concerns every single Italian household. So all of those households not having the right technology. So the technology that we work with, the new signal and the new frequencies. So once again, this effect is not only fortunately limited to the time being, but once again, the switch off had to be done in September 2021. Now there's been, let's say, an extension. Only some channels of some TV networks have been closed. So, I mean, there was a booming, you know, purchase of TV sets from before summer. This was also due to the beginning of the football championship and then the European championships. And, for example, you know what happened to DAZN. So they got the rights for football matches. Once again, this means that we need a switch off, but we also need, I mean, smart TV sets. This means that those TV sets will have the possibility to have an app. You can go to the internet and you can take advantage of the DAZN subscription. So once again, we've been helped by this to sell TV sets in July and August. At the end of August, we also started to have basically a reimbursement from the central government. It's a 20% discount. Maximum threshold is 100 euros when you purchase a new TV set. So once again, you have to give your old TV set back to the store where you purchased the new one, and you have a maximum of 100 euros discount or 20% discount on the price of the TV set. This will continue for most of next year, so from almost all 2022. This makes us very happy because this means we can now manage a market having an incredible boost just, you know, concentrated on a few weeks. This means that the positive impact can now be diluted on almost 1 year of work, and this is good news for all of us. Let me now give the floor to Marco for the financial and economic aspects of our organizations. Marco. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marco Pacini. I would like now to go through the economic and financial data. As a reference, in order to measure the performance of UniEuro, we have to use the adjusted EBITDA post IFRS. You can see here that the adjusted EBITDA is going up. So you can see here from 22.5, we have 27.1 million euros. We have four different reasons why there's a positive shift. Reason number one, the most important one, the turnover goes up by 189 million euros. This is the volume effect, and this means 41 million euros volume effect. Previously, we have 21.3%. This improves by 0.5% versus last year. The combined effect, so volume, 41 million, so plus channel evolution, this explains the increase of the gross profit. We also have other reasons telling us why costs go up. Maybe you remember this last year, after closing physical points of sale, we had some one-off actions for cost reductions. We also had the unemployment benefits for staff, the use of holidays, plus a rental reduction actions. So now all of this was one-off operations. So 21.5 million euros, this was the value last year. We have to remember another point, that one part of our costs are variable costs. So the turnover goes up and these costs also go up. More or less 7% of turnover, we have transport costs. And then we have guarantees, incentives, variable rentals. So the value is around 40 million euros when I say 7%. There's also another reason why there's been a cost increase. Fortunately, it's due to openings. We had the 2-3 openings in the first half. More or less, if you consider the entire scope, the value is 7 million euros plus 21.5 one-off impacts plus increase of variable cost. This means 42 million euros cost increase. Page 10, in the second half, so the bottom of the chart, you can see here the net income, 22.4 million euros, strongly going up, I mean, plus 8 million euros. So we have explained the 4.6 million euros due to EBIT. Financial debt is going down, so interests are going down. And the most important item is taxes. We decided to align the accounting tax values. We also have the an impact on the year, 11.4 million euros. You can see here, plus 2.5 million euros versus last year. We can now move to the next slide. Let me now talk about the financial situation now. Corner on the bottom back, so net financial position, NFP, you can see it here. So this means that there's availability of cash, 155 million euros in February 2021. We have good news. We have paid out dividends in June, 54 million euros. There's another reason, it's the working capital. Now, as for the working capital, well, this is the reason why our adjusted level is negative, even if the business is going very well, and this is very positive. You can see here around 70 million euros EBITDA. As for the working capital, Well, this is negative in the first half of the year. This was largely expected. I mean, it is absolutely what happens every single year in the first half of the year. This happens because every year in February, Unieuro gives the so-called Valentine's awards or bonuses to staff. They will be used between March and April. So basically, there's an increase of turnover, but there's no, let's say, cash flows because, I mean, people use these bonuses or discounts. This happens every year in the first age. So working capital is negative. The free working capital, FWCD, you can read top right, the small blue band, this is 67.9 million euros. In this case, you can see commercial credits. There's another point on CapEx. There's a strong growth of CapEx versus the previous year. This won't surprise you because our CapEx goes from the historical level, 20, 30 million euros, to 50 million euros this year. Okay, floor goes back to Giancarlo. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for this presentation. We can now go to page number 12, and we can see very, very quickly some of the operating contents. Let me now talk about the sales network, which is quite stable. So there are some good news also in this slide. Well, first and foremost, there's an increase of our, I mean, the level of brand identity. I mean, this is one of the most positive things that we have experienced this year. There's been an increase, but also the comeback of customers to our points of sales. And this is a great result, the plus 10%. There's another number which is very positive. So not only did we have more loyalty cards and fidelity cards, so this was also positive. But I have to say that there's a comeback. I mean, there's a new growth of the Net Promoter Score, NPS. This is an extremely important increase, plus 2.5% points, well, plus 2.5 points. And this highlights the great job with it. Of course, we cannot give up, so we have to keep going. Our objective is to have, more customers on every channel, more and more satisfied. I mean, happier and happier. And of course, those are the customers who spend more money. Of course, a retail company always has to have this kind of objective. This is our own mantra when we manage our business. So of course, I'm talking about every single commercial business, every single SKU. So this is really, really very important to remember in this slide. So once again, there's a beautiful increase of NPS. Now, page 14. Now, in this slide, again, slide 14, you can see basically one of the focal points of our organization. This is what we wanted to do in the first 8 months of the year, so from the 1st of March all the way to today. So at the beginning of my presentation, I told you the market is still positive. Well, maybe less opportunities in terms of acquisition, especially at reasonable, affordable costs. So for the time being, we think these costs are too high. So our focus was acquisitions, but once again, we keep our eyes open. So we have a pipeline of potential targets. We keep working and checking what's happening in this pipeline. So of course, it's a very important part of the history and the growth of our organization. But I also have to say that, we shifted, if you will, our focus also on organic growth. We've been offered many opportunities during the year. I have to say that on average in the past years, if you check the average number of opening directly on points of sale, so we have 5 a year. This year we have opened 9 already. Next week, so November the 20th. We will also open our 10th new store this year, which is very important, Via Marghera, so in the center of Milan, where we got, purchased four floors. So we have 2,000 square meters of point of sale on two floors, and then we have the third and the fourth floor. They will become the Milan headquarters of UniEuro, and we will also move the Moncler offices. So this year we focused on opening directly managed or directly owned points of sale, and thanks to long established relationships with plenty of large retailers, we've been given the opportunity to open stores in the main shopping centers. We also have, you know, Rome, and then Naples, the city of Catania in Sicily, same again, Syracuse in Sicily, and many other points of sale which are very important for us. I mean, in areas that were, let's say, very important for us, where we focused our attention in the past. Maybe you remember, we said in the past that we wanted to grow in some areas, for example, Campania, so the Naples region, in San Giuliano, so close to Naples, we have a store in a very, very important shopping mall for that area. We also opened in Rome, thus reconfirming our leadership in Rome. So once again, we have a UniEuro store in Rome's most important shopping mall. Once again, in the city center in Milan, we didn't have the right coverage for a city which is so rich and wealthy. And there is no, let's say, direct competition with the exception of just one operator. So the Milan building was a great opportunity for us. Once again, there's a long-established relationship with Conad, C-O-N-A-D. They have taken over all of the Auchan stores in Italy. So we had a potential target. In this case, we signed an agreement with Conad to open four stores that were opened some weeks ago. We also have another store in Limbiate, north of Milan. We also have the former headquarters of Euronics store. We also opened another store in Palermo, Sicily, again, in one of the most important shopping centers of the city. So it belonged to Troni. We also opened two stores in Turin. So you can see here, well, you can really understand that basically we've taken over, you know, our points of sale at affordable prices. You know, we don't forget the crisis last year. So a big crisis of shopping malls. So this means that there's been a significant reduction of costs. So in these shopping centers, we were able to open a store because at last we were given the opportunity to take over, I mean, stores that were excellent from the logistics point of view. And once again, at affordable costs. I think this is the best thing to do. We need to open points of sale, especially at affordable costs. This is, you know, one of the key reasons why we managed to grow. So a sustainable, profitable growth. Now, you know very well that our company with more than 270 points of sale, we don't have a predefined format. As I said in the past, and I can repeat it today, our model basically adjusts and adapts to the potential of the local communities where we open a store. Now, if we open a store in the city center of Milan, we have high expectations. If we open in Syracuse, so in Sicily, the turnover, of course, will be different. What is important is that the financial statements are positive in every single point of sale. This is the way we've always had. This is the way we operate. Today, we have a significant coverage of the Italian territory with, if you will, some areas where we can, let's say, do better. We can improve our coverage or presence. But anyway, I have to say that today, we're really happy. But once again, we can do better. So we keep looking all around us, potential targets. You know, costs today may look a little high, so much so that, I mean, we are not considering this today. But we don't want to forget that, I mean, there's, still a potential, I mean, areas to be, you know, exploited. And of course, we don't want to change this strategy because, I mean, this strategy allowed our company to become market leader in terms of turnover, but also in terms of profitability. Okay, then, floor goes now back to Marco. He will be talking about the BB, the buyback. Okay, chart number 15. I would say three key things. The first one is the targets we have. So this buyback plan is also a sort of a support for the managers of UniEuro. It can also be used to facilitate M&A operations. You may say, well, why now? Well, because, I mean, this security, the value of this security went down a little bit. It is lower than the consensus as well. So this may be the right time. Okay, let me share with you figures. We have 600,000 shares, which is 2.9% of the stock capital. So they can be given to managers when they reach 100% of objectives. You can see here 26.40. This is the price, 25% higher than yesterday's closing level. And once again, this matches the consensus level. Maximum investment, you can see here, 15.8 million euros. So we will start on November the 15th. Okay, so this was a summary of the current buyback philosophy. Thank you so much, Marco. I'm going to close soon, and then we will open to questions. So this is what we expect, as you can see here, page 16. Once again, the market will be in a positive territory, so still strong on some categories. Of course, on other categories, there may be some difficulties. For example, you know, last year, right now, so there was a lockdown. So, of course, there was plenty of, you know, demand for IT systems, computers, technology in order to study from home or to work from home. Now, for the time being, fortunately, for the time being, we don't have any lockdown. So this is a category that suffers a little. But you can see that good performances continue on all the other product categories. So this is what I said at the very beginning of my presentation. I really would like to highlight this point once again. The development we can see in quantitative terms. So we will see what happens at the closure of the 9 months. Great evolution, good developments in September, October, and also the beginning of November. Now, November is a very important month because you know that after December, this is the most important month of the year. At the beginning of the month, just like every year, we have launched our Black Friday campaign, which is going very well. So we expect, you know, to confirm once again quite a good development also on Q3. This is what I said before. I really would like to highlight this once again before wrapping up. Now, as of today, we wish to reconfirm the guidance that we shared back in June during the presentation of the business plan. There have been some minor issues on the availability of products and, if you will, mix of channels, categories, and brands. So, of course, so we have to keep our eyes, you know, open. But once again, we want to reconfirm the figures and the metrics we shared in June. This is it. Thank you so much for your attention. Questions are welcome from me, Marco, and Bruno. This is the Chorus Call operator. We can now start the Q&A session. If you want to ask a question, please dial star followed by one on your telephone. If you want to get out of the booking list, please dial star followed by two. Please use the receiver of your telephone to ask a question. So once again, star followed by one now if you want to ask a question. The first question is from Dario Miche from Exxon BNP Paribas, please. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the thorough presentation. First question I have for you is the following. The current level of inventories, as compared to the same period of last year, maybe 2 years ago. So do you see any potential bottlenecks in terms of supply chain? Do you see this on your inventories? Now, second question on costs. The cost increase that we see, can you transfer this on prices for consumers? I think that, you know, there's a cost growth drivers, which is represented by logistics. So will you be able to transfer this on price increases? Third question is on M&A. So you're working on potential, you know, potential targets. Are you considering national companies, or do you also start an international business, which is what we could see in the business plan? Fourth and last question. Apart from the new openings you talked about before, for which you got an affordable price for the new rentals, now, what about the rents you paid in the past? In this post-pandemic world, are you renegotiating contracts? So have you increased the variable part instead of the fixed part? And as for the new rentals, so which is the delta of theoretical saving that you manage to get? Thank you. Okay, I hope you can hear me. Yes, we can. Now, as for your first question, inventories. So as you can imagine, yes, we thought that there may have been some difficulties. I mean, we know what happens, you know, in every category, every industry, there have been shortages and supply chain bottlenecks in terms of availability of some products. Of course, we were ready to face this challenge. And for example, if you consider the inventory level today, so the current level, this level is much higher than the one we had 1 year ago. So much so that, as I said in my presentation, as of today, we don't have any significant impact on the availability of products in the first 8 months of our financial year. Again, as I said before, we sure there won't be any major impact in November. This is great news because, as I said before, November is one of the most important months of the year. In December, I mean, we've been, you know, reassured by the industry, and this means that we are now able to very well manage the current availability of products in our warehouses. So once again, we don't think there will be any major repercussion. As I said before, and I want to be transparent, we have less visibility on the new arrivals, especially Q1 2022, so January, February and March, especially on some categories, IT and telephones. But as for the large household appliances, small household appliances, TV sets, conditioning systems, audio services, no problem in those cases. So there won't be any major impact in Q1 22. As of today, I also have to say that, you know, we are market leaders. We have long established relationships with most of the industry. And then, you know, frankly speaking, we have a major, you know, negotiating power. So the industry treats us in a very privileged way because they know our organization is healthy, listed at the stock exchange. We have a good rating, you know, in our suppliers, which is very high. You know, once again, you know, suppliers do want to work with us. I mean, they choose us for all of these reasons. And again, as you know very well, one of the key pillars of our company is the centralization, not just of the headquarters, but also the logistics. So also for suppliers, you know, they know we have just one single delivery point. So they sent there all of the products from the Far East, but also from Eastern Europe. You know that almost all, you know, manufacturers are, you know, in these places. So this means it's easier for us to receive goods and products. We can purchase, you know, entire trains or containers. So again, we can buy large quantities of products. All of this is sent to just one single logistics platform in Piacenza. And then from there, we deliver to every single sales channels, affiliates, and, you know, stores. But also for customers who purchase online on our channels. And again, in this case, we deliver directly to their homes. So, you know, in the past years, we tried to create an easier relationship, if you will, with the rest of the industry, because we want to be able to manage, you know, all of this, spending, you know, the least money as possible. And again, we want to show people that we also want to facilitate logistics on behalf of suppliers. I think that, you know, maybe some of our competitors did have some, you know, bottlenecks. We didn't, because, and again, we are confident. I mean, there won't be major repercussions, well, in November and December, which are against the most important months for us. We're plenty confident that we will manage the first quarter 2022 with no major impact. Okay, I hope I have answered your question. As for the cost side, well, Marco can also give you more information about this, but cost-wise, I have to say that, you know, some costs cannot be transferred directly on the purchase price. For example, electricity. Well, this is a cost that, well, you know, what's happening to energy prices. It does have an impact, and we could see it already in the first half of the year. There are other costs on the products having to do with two factors. The increase of prices of raw materials. You must have read news about this. And this concerns especially, you know, the large household appliances, because they have been impacted heavily by these cost hikes. We have updated price lists. Since today, suppliers have increased their prices. This is not 15 or 20 or 30 points. Well, raw materials increased a lot, but the impact of the raw material on our product is only 7 to 8%. And this is why our price increases were between 2 and 5%. Now, of course, this is something you can do on the price of the product. It concerns not only us, but the entire market. If I have to sell a washing machine for 549 euros, if the increase is 2 points, it's 10 euros. Okay, so we can do from 549, we can do 559 with no problem whatsoever. Don't forget one of the effects we didn't talk about before, but, you know, one of the positive effects for you in Europe onto the consumer electronics market is that we managed at last to increase the turnover of the entire industry. 2 years ago, the market was worth 14.7 billion euros. This year, it will be more than 17 billion euros. This means we are getting very, very close to other important European countries. Now, this is due not just to the increase of volumes, but especially to the increase of the value of the products. Now, this means basically that market leaders was able to sell at higher prices. This is the best news ever for a retail organization. Marco? Let me go back to inventories. So we have the absolute value, but of course we also have to consider sales, and so the so-called coverage ratio. Now, if you compare our inventories today with 1 year ago, well, it's a sort of an intermediate situation between the pre-COVID and post-COVID. For example, The inventories today is around 16% of the turnover. And then pre-COVID, it was 18%. So once again, inventories went up versus February. In terms of coverage, this is better than pre-COVID. The cost of the energy bill cannot be transferred onto our customers. €600,000, that was the value of the impact. Let me speed up on the other question, M&A. As I said before, we keep checking the pipeline, of course, Italy. As we announced during the presentation of the business plan, we also start, opening up. So we start looking at potential openings abroad. As for the rentals, you're right, but this is something we started, some years ago. So we try now to shift most rentals onto the variable parts, so the one depending on the turnover. This is something we do all the time because we have more than 270 stores. So, of course, rental agreements, reach their deadline. Every time there's a deadline, we need to renegotiate by using these principles. Any more questions? There's a question from Nicolo Store from Kepler. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for accepting my question. I have more than one. First question is on Black Friday. Can you give us some color on the Black Friday campaign this year? How it will be and will it be different than last year or last year's? Second question, I'd like to know more on white goods sales. I can see that in the second quarter, they have been the weakest category. There's a decrease year on year. So it is the only category going up versus 2019, single digit. So what is driving this performance inside the group? For example, large household appliances, are they doing it better or worse than the small ones? The third question is on the guidance. So what about the trends for the second part of the year? Are you cautious because of the possible bottlenecks? And do you think the demand may normalize? There may not be lack of goods, so normalization only. So just some basic assumptions. The last question is just a clarification on the buyback. So I remember that when you launched the stock option plan, you talked about a capital increase by 900,000 shares. Can you give me some color about this? Thank you. Okay, floor goes now to Bruna Olivieri. Good morning, everyone. Now, as for the Black Friday campaign, so as you know very well, this is not just one day. This is much more than a weekend, much more than a week. It concerns the entire month of November. So, this is what happened, in the entire industry here in Italy. So in terms of promotions, I have to say that, this is very similar to what we did last year, with a greater focus on some special days. For example, yesterday. So we're really very happy to say that the result, especially online channel, it's really much, much higher and better than the results we got last year. I can't give you specific information, but there will be other recurring, campaigns, not just, the baskets we have for every single week, very similar to the single day yesterday. As for the white goods, well, especially in H1, I have to say that the evolution is different. It depends on the product group you take into account. Okay, there's a very clear trend that concerns all channels. On MDA, now, the semester, was weak in terms of online with a big, acceleration for the second semester. Well, this doesn't apply to the MDA because this is the only product group for which also online, it will grow much more than the market, which is what actually happened. This is to protect, the strategy that in the past year focused on this sector. I have to say this happens online, but also on the traditional channel, maybe a little bit less than the online channel. So total company level, this is higher than the evolution of the market. The development is very different on MDA. So the small, household appliance, in this case, the online planning, H1, delivers less than the market, slightly less than the market on this category, strongly driven by the vacuum cleaning business. The traditional channel is doing better than the market. So overall, also on the small domestic appliances, SDA, the company improves the share. There's also another weak sector, in this case, not online, but in terms of home comfort. I'm talking about the traditional channel. And this is why if you make the sum of the entire sector, this is exactly what you said. It is, let's say, below the market on the traditional channel. Because we now use the new management system, we couldn't use, the bonus system from the central government. So this is why this business is, weak. But once again, it doesn't concern, the entire company or MDA. As for the guidance, they were very clear. So we expect to close the year with a turnover between 2.8 and 2.9 billion euros, EBIT would be between 65 and 75, free cash flow between 40 and 50. So I have to say that as of today, we are totally confident we will be able to reach these levels. We could do better, but we don't want to think about this because there may be some, let's say, lack of visibility on the deliveries of products. Again, today we don't have significant impacts on this, and we expect that also in the next months or so, we will be able to do greater things to the size and the strength of our organization and the good relationships we have with the rest of the industry. So hopefully we will be able to do this with no problems. Now, of course, our market is not very simple, not very easy, but we think we can really reach the results I have presented. As for the buyback, you're right, 600,000 shares to cover the plan. So if managers reach the 100% of KPIs, in this case, we have the possibility to overperform the KPI that we decided to have. So we can also reach 150%. So as you said, 900,000 shares, Once again, 600,000 shares are to be used to reach 100% of corporate targets. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Next question, Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Good morning. Some questions have already been answered. I just have a personal curiosity. I know it's not easy, but I'd like to know more about the, product availability situation. So, what about the gross margin trend for the second part of the year? Because, I mean, you talked about a different trend between different categories. And I think that even, manufacturers will push on high-value solutions versus low-value solutions. So I'd like to know more about this dynamic because the performance on your gross profit is better than the one you had last year. So I'd like to know which kind of assumptions you have for the second part of the year. The second question, very easily, I'd like to know more on the tax benefit on the goodwill. I mean, I missed the information on the impact on the semester and on the entire year. Thank you. Now, as for the impact on the margin, second H, considering, the availability of products from different brands. As I said before, fortunately, September, October, and mid-November, well, they are confirming that we are in compliance with our targets that we had set. As you all remember, H2, of course, is a semester where margins go down a little bit in terms of percent rate, while in absolute terms it goes up. Because, this is, the second half contains plenty of promotional activities we do. So we have just talked about Black Friday. Bruna told you that we have also added other significant promotions. We've managed this since summer with doing some planning with the industry. But anyway, top turnover is reached in November and December. But at the same time, this is where you do plenty of promotions. So we foresee a slight decrease, in H2. And we are confident that we can comply with the targets we set, some months ago in compliance with the evolution of the past years. What can change in Q1 22, so January, February, and March, as I said before, may be something having to do with two specific product categories, information technology and telephones. But, they are not the highest margin categories. This is why we are, relatively confident in confirming the guidance that we shared some months ago, because once again, the high margin categories do not have any problem today in terms of availability of products. As for your second question, Marco, can you please take it? Well, I hope that you could answer it, Giancarlo, but just kidding. This is the current situation. So, of course, we have goodwill, and you can, amortize the goodwill. So from the physical point of view, but in terms of balance sheet, we carry out the impairment test. So many companies like ours, if you have a goodwill, they never change. So from the tax point of view, the goodwill goes down because of the amortization, right? So companies like us have a difference between the tax value of goodwill and the value you have in the balance sheet. This is what the legislator told us. You can realign these two values. the tax value may correspond to the value you have in the balance sheet. So we decided to take advantage of this opportunity. So we have realigned the lower fiscal values to the higher balance sheet values. The difference was 40 million euros. We have to pay 3% of 40 million, which is basically 1.2 million euros. In exchange of this, you can amortize the 40 million euros on over 18 years. So for the next 18 years, we will pay less taxes because we can count on this extra amortization. So if you take advantage of this possibility, in the balance sheet, you can have a so-called anticipated tax credit, which is more than 11 million euros. So when companies take advantage of these opportunities, they do this to pay less taxes, but they also improve their net assets. So this is a positive impact on the net assets that you will see at the end of the year. Okay, let me be as brief and simple as possible. So maybe you don't see the 11 million euros in the first H statement for two reasons. You know, the turnover is smaller in H1 than H2. The second reason is that for accounting reasons, when we write the taxes on the 1H balance sheet, we have to make a forecast for the entire year and then apply the tax rate on the first H. Okay, so okay, it's a very simple, if you will, explanation. The most important thing is that we will save almost 11 million years at the end of the year. Thank you. Very clear. Thank you. For the time being, we have no other questions in the booking line. Okay, then, thank you so much. If there are no other questions, really would like to thank all of the participants. Thank you so much for sharing this time with you. Of course, we are available, so get back to us for any follow-up. And together with Andrea, me, myself, Bruna, and Marco, once again, grazie. So thank you so much for participating in our financial call today. And we will update at the beginning of January. Well, we will, you know, comment the financial data of the first 9 months of the year for a specific snapshot of the development of our company this year. So a very challenging year, but for the time being, a highly satisfactory year. Once again, thank you so much. Bye-bye.